Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
There we go.
Hey, Dan Gay. Wow. Is that?
You forgot my name.
I forgot your name. I'm looking at you and I'm like, I can't believe I'm sitting here, because the last time I saw you was Sundance. We bumped into each other at Sundance.
Yes.
And before that, and that was in January. And before that, the last time I saw you was when we recorded our last episode.
The
for Nerdist.
Season finale.
Yeah, the season finale. Yes. Or series finale. Then it got rebooted or
whatever
you want.
Yeah, we got
a
limited series on Netflix. We're going to be a Hulu original series also coming to Epics, whatever that
Epics.
Is.
Epics
with an X.
Is Epics still around?
Epics is still around. I think they're trying to sell it to another company. I think it used to be owned by Viacom. I don't know.
Can I tell you something? I was driving. I got gas today, and I pulled out of the gas station, and I seen a billboard for some weird UFC fight show that's made by AT&T Studios.
Yeah, they have the Audience Network,
I think,
because they now own DirecTV, so they have like a built-in. Ugh.
There's so many networks.
Hey, if you love content, guess what? There's a provider for you.
The internet.
You can CISO, you can Alpha, you can do whatever you want. There's this SVOD for every occasion.
SVOD for everything.
Yeah. It stands for Steven VOD. The founder of the first streaming service in America.
There's... video on demand, Steven Video on Demand.
Yes,
Mr. Video on Demand is his father.
Steven Universe, essentially, and Steven Seagal movies.
Out for Justice. What's Out for Justice is one. I think literally Steven Seagal's got like four movies that have justice in the title.
It makes sense. What also kind of makes sense is that recently Ukraine banned Steven Seagal as a threat to national security.
What? Tell me about this.
This is a report coming from The Guardian. The security service said they've forbidden Steven Seagal entry into the country for 5 years because he received Russian citizenship. He's got a weird bromance with Vladimir Putin, because of course he does, because Vladimir Putin apparently has a deep and protracted interest in the, like, bloated, red-faced, shit-eating husks of older American men. Case in point, Donald Trump, Steven Seagal.
Any shirtless old guy with small hands.
Exactly. I guess he just, maybe he wants to know where the kill switch is, or how Steven Seagal was driven to kill. Yeah, Steven Seagal. What a fucker.
Actually, I'm wrong. He's only got... Oh, nope, he's got two movies. Three movies. Hold on, three. Let's see if please be four. That say justice in the title. I only see one. I only see three. Okay, so here we got. We got Steven Seagal movies with justice in the title. Out for Justice. Came out in 1991. We have Urban Justice. Came out in 2007. And then we have Mercenary for Justice. Came out in 2006.
Look, I wish more countries would ban Steven Seagal from entering. He needs to be stopped at every border asked to leave.
Some of these Steven Seagal movies seem like they're fake movies within a movie.
Yeah, no, they look like they would be fake movies on 30 Rock or something.
Against the Dark. Maximum Conviction. Pistol Whipped.
Pistol Whipped. Submerged.
Submerged. Ticker. Code of Honor. Ready? Today You Die.
Oh boy, Steven Seagal. Just nobody said no to him. It just kept going.
He just kept going.
Movie star.
Hey, speaking of movies, Dan, we were talking about earlier. Guardians of the Galaxy 2,
Volume 2. It's
volume
out. It's here. Kurt Russell has a penis and he's a planet.
Spoiler alert.
No, he says that in the trailer.
He says that in the trailer that he's got a penis.
Yeah. Oh, people got mad when we posted the trailer and mentioned that Kurt Russell was Star-Lord's dad. Which they mention in the trailers.
In the trailer.
It's like a big part of the marketing. And they were like, I don't own a TV. I'm like, that's not my fault.
Yeah.
This is official information.
That's internet information.
Stay offline if you want to truly not be spoiled.
I mean...
You spoiled brat.
Yeah. It's kind of like bowling. Like, go outside.
Yeah.
Bowling? Bowling.
Oh.
Like cyber bowling.
Like cyber bowling sounds like something I'd love to
cyber bowling. Here, kind of speaking of bowling, while we're on a tangent, did you see the movie Passengers?
Yes.
I was talking to somebody the other day, and this is, I mean, anytime I talk about the movie Passengers, I bring up bowling.
Uh-huh.
Because they had some future Dance Dance Revolution.
Yes.
They had a weird future half court basketball, but they didn't have like future bowling.
It was, and they only had one bartender for the entire ship.
For the entire ship. Like, that bar would get crowded.
When everybody woke up, it would take a long time to get drinks.
To get drinks. That bar would be crowded.
Yeah. Man, what a disappointing movie that was.
It was a bummer movie. And they've been working on that movie for like 10 years. Like Keanu Reeves has been trying to make it for a long time.
Keanu, you lucked out.
We love you, Keanu.
Just work on John Wick Chapter 3.
John Wick Chapter 3 is going to be so good.
And then maybe make that a crossover with Atomic Blonde. Who knows?
Who knows?
I've heard good things. Haven't seen it yet.
I mean, it's by one of the guys who did John Wick.
Yeah, David Leitch, who co-directed John Wick 1, and he's directing Deadpool 2.
No.
Yeah.
The other guy's doing Deadpool 2, right?
No, David Leitch is.
Atomic Blonde is doing Deadpool 2?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
For some reason, I thought, if only there was a way we could find out this information.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought he did Atomic Blonde because he's not doing Deadpool 2.
No, this is what he's doing in between, I'm pretty sure. David Leitch is doing Deadpool.
Okay, and the other guy's sticking with Johnny Wick.
Yeah, he's sticking with J-Bone.
J-Bone, J-Wicks.
I feel like Chad Stahelski is doing something else as well. Those dudes are fine. They will land on their feet.
Yeah, they'll have movies coming at them.
Shit tons of money.
They'll have movies being thrown at them. Reason I brought up Guardians, Dan, is because you're a connoisseur of all things Marvel and the Avengers and everything like that. And maybe you could help me to this.
Mm-hmm.
Who were those gold people?
The gold people, oh my God. They are part of the Sovereign.
Okay.
They are this sort of like advanced race of aliens that have used genetic engineering to make themselves, each one of them, perfect. And they're obsessed with perfection, and they're very easily insulted. And they're basically just like a bunch of, it's like a very science driven society, but like they sort of, you know, here in the US, a lot of people sort of like frown or like get uncomfortable when the subject of like genetic engineering comes up, because think like that's weird, tampering with nature. And this is the result of that. Like, basically these people have just like, they've made their bodies quote unquote perfect. And they're these like shining golden assholes.
So, and they're in the comics. They're in the actual.
Yes, they are in the comics. They are part of. I mean, I don't know if they were called the Sovereign in the comics. I don't think so. I think they might have renamed them.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, they might. Maybe. It's. They play around a lot. They play kind of fast and loose with
the actual.
Yeah.
Comics origins. Well, yeah, because like in the comics, Star-Lord's dad is an Ego, right?
No, it's Jason of Spartax.
Right, and he's like a prince or a king or something like that.
He's an outer spaceman.
Then another thing that they changed, Adam Warlock.
Yes, Adam Warlock. Well, they didn't really change
him. Was he made by the Sovereign, or how did he come? Oh,
yeah, he was made
by... So in the comics, he was actually a fabrication.
Yes. Basically, Adam Warlock is a genetic twin of Aisha.
Oh, the girl.
Yes.
Oh, so that's a real thing in the comics.
Yes.
Aisha is a real girl.
Mm-hmm.
She's not a made-up Sovereign girl.
Correct. Basically, they were trying to really create like perfect beings, and those were two of them in the comics.
Okay.
They sort of just expanded on that a little bit to create sort of another antagonist force in the movie.
Okay. And Adam Warlock is the one who saves the day in the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yes, he definitely intervenes in a big way. He becomes very important in the whole Infinity Gauntlet saga, and definitely he's got a... I believe he possesses the Soul Gem at one point. Definitely possesses the Soul Gem at one point. But he is a constant thorn in Thanos' side, and a real... major player in the cosmic universe. So
and
fact that they teased him being in, like, he's definitely going to be a big part of the third one. I don't know if he'll wind up being in Infinity War.
He's going to be a big part of Guardians 3.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know if they're going to actually like get it together in time to have him in Infinity War, because that movie already has, I think, something like 67 characters.
That's a lot.
It is.
But so he won't be the one who saves the day in Infinity War, though.
No, I don't think so. That'd be kind of like a weird Deus Ex Machina of just like, here's this character you've never met who's just going to save everything.
Well, but we would have met him in Guardians 3. When does Infinity War come out?
Infinity War comes out next November. So not in November 2018. And Guardians 3 won't come out until probably
after
like
the Infinity
Guard. Yeah, yeah.
Well, okay. No, but the Guardians are going to be in the Infinity War, though.
Yes. Guardians are going to be in Infinity War. It's already been confirmed. Marvel released a video showing Chris Pratt on set, and they also showed some concept art with Thor and Rocket Raccoon together.
Okay.
So, who knows when we're going to see Guardians Volume 3. It's been confirmed that James Gunn's going to direct it. It'll be coming out as part of Marvel's Phase 4, but it probably won't be out before, I would say, 2019 at the earliest, realistically, probably 2020.
Okay, so really, then, Adam Warlock, they're changing the ending of the... They're going to
change
the Infinity War.
I've kind of figured that was going to be the case from the start, because, honestly, Adam Warlock's cool and all, but they can tell the story they want to tell without bringing in too many other, like, crazy ancillary characters. Like, you already... Like, I feel like people already know so little about Thanos.
Yeah.
It's just like people are so obsessive about these movies, they've like taken it upon themselves to do like comic book research.
So who do you think is going to save the day in the Infinity War?
I think...
Doctor Strange?
No, I think it's actually going to be Captain America sort of like sacrificing himself and then somehow...
Yeah?
Yeah.
Has he done that before in the comics?
There's an iconic shot of him, like basically all the Avengers have been killed by Thanos, and it's him just walking up to him being like, he's just like fighting him one-on-one and just being like, I'll never back down. And it's just awesome.
Survives. Captain America.
No, like
can...
he dies and like all the Avengers get like, everyone gets resurrected using the power of the Infinity Gauntlet. It's because basically once you get all the Infinity Stones, these cosmic Moncala beads, you can control time and space and life itself. You have command over like all of creation.
But... Oh, and then Captain America like fought him and like,
yeah, it's a very complicated story to sort of like
understandable
break down piecemeal like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like Captain America, definitely. There's a really cool panel if you're going back and reading sort of the old Infinity Gauntlet stuff, where it's Cap standing against Thanos, and he says, as long as one man stands against you, Thanos, you'll never be able to claim victory. And then Thanos is like, noble sentiments for one who's about to die. And it's just like this awesome shot of Cap like walking amidst this cosmic ruin right up to Thanos's face and being like, you haven't won. Like, there will always be someone to oppose you.
That's interesting, because Thanos could literally just kill him immediately.
Exactly, and he basically just destroys
him. Probably does.
Like
he does that.
And he basically smashes Cap's shield shortly thereafter.
That's amazing.
But it's like, it's such a powerful moment seeing, and also Cap punches Thanos in the face.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Thanos is basically a space Nazi.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's like this purple Red Skull. He's the purple skull.
Yeah, he's the purple chin.
That's interesting.
Speaking of Nazis.
Yes, yes,
Speaking of Nazis, Steve Bannon. No, there is a book called Der Total Rausch from the German writer Norman Ohler, who spent years studying German and U.S. records, including an extensive collection of notes kept by Theodor Moral, who was Hitler's personal physician. And he learned that this sort of famed Nazi efficiency, like how are they so effective at getting everything done and like building up essentially like a crazy military industrial complex? The answer was drugs. Shit tons of drugs.
Lots of drugs. Like Hitler was on tons of drugs.
Hitler was regularly on cocaine, morphine, and heroin. And a lot of German soldiers and civilians used methamphetamine or crystal meth to stay awake and get everything done, which is crazy to think about. So they would just use that to stay awake for days at a time and march without resting. And there was this decree in 1940, April of 1940, a stimulant decree that sent 35 million tablets of these two drugs called Pervitin and Isofan. They sent these pills to the front line, where that sort of fueled the Nazis' blitzkrieg invasion of France through the Ardennes, in the mountains. So it's crazy. You know, stimulants have been used for a long time. They even used to be used in professional baseball.
Yeah.
Look up greenies if you want to know more about that.
Oh, greenies. Yeah. I know. I take greenies every morning with my coffee.
A bowl of greenies.
Speaking of drugs, actually, here's the thing. You remember that episode, Saved by the Bell, where Zach Morris put gelatin in the pool? No, that's a different episode. Remember the one where Jesse Spano was addicted to caffeine pills?
I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
That was originally supposed to be her addicted to speed.
Really?
Yeah, the actual drug speed. However, NBC vetoed the idea, feeling that the topic was too serious and too deep and too real almost for a kids show. Because Saved by the Bell wasn't an after school show. It was later on the reruns, but it originally was a Saturday morning show.
Yeah.
And to have kids addicted to, you know, actual drugs on Saturday mornings was a little bit too tough.
But like that was a big trope in cartoons for a while. Like if you remember, G.I. Joe did an episode where G.I. Joe wound up teaming up with Cobra to fight drug dealers.
Oh, that's
because like they were making these drugs that were like a member of G.I. Joe's family and like a member of like someone in Cobra's family, it was doing so much damage to society that a terrorist organization and a secret paramilitary organization had to team up to save the day. Likewise in Captain Planet, I remember, I think it was Skylar got addicted to like these like diet pills or something. And it was like, it was a big, like they wanted to make these sort of like very like after school special PSA type things.
It's really an interesting thing because they definitely had a lot of that in the 80s.
Yeah.
They had a lot of don't do drug propaganda, be it cartoons or be it posters or movies or whatever. They had a lot of don't do drugs propaganda in the 80s. And that kind of like, you don't see that anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, even DARE, like I'm sure schools still have DARE. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not.
Yeah.
You know,
we
I don't have
DARE.
Children. I don't have kids. I don't go to schools or whatever, but
I don't hang out of schools telling kids not to do drugs. I have schools selling drugs,
but there definitely seemed like in the late 80s, there was definitely that push of don't do drugs. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And a commonplace that people would hide their drugs when the cops came. They'd flush them down the toilet.
Okay.
And
speaking of toilets.
Seamless transition.
Seamless. I miss these seamless transitions we would always have.
Apparently, according to the BBC, they have this article I just came across. The average person visits the toilet 2,500 times a year. That's about 6 to 8 times a day. Which kind of makes sense if you think about it. Like, you might not think that you do, but you're probably like, oh, yeah, maybe. I guess over the course of a day, that it averages out.
6 times a day to go to the bathroom?
6 to 8 times a day, depending.
Now, is that actually going?
Not every time
is
as eventful as others.
Now, is that like climbing a rope in gym class and you feel like you got to pee and then you go?
Who
or
knows,
you don't?
Man? Who knows? I don't think that. Maybe that seems like a lot, but who can
six
say?
To eight times is a lot.
Yeah, but it's spaced out.
Especially
over,
if you're sleeping 8 hours a day. So,
but like spaced out over the like 12 to 14 hours you're awake.
That's every 2 hours.
Yeah, especially if you have coffee or water.
Okay.
If you're well hydrated, you should be going a lot.
Yeah.
Stay
hydrated, folks.
The average person, though, spends 3 years of their life in the bathroom. So, whatever age you die at, subtract 3.
Subtract 3 years.
Because you didn't reach that. You were just shitting the whole time. And apparently, most toilets flush in the key of E flat. So, there you go.
I wonder if that just because that's what water sounds like in the pipe?
Probably.
That's because...
No, your toilet doesn't play entire song. There are a bunch of toilets in Japan where like they have like these super fancy things, but also some of them will play like a little song while it flushes to like mask the sound of it flushing.
Huh. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I want that. Speaking of drinking coffee and staying hydrated, according to coffeecrossroads.com, coffee was discovered in Ethiopia when the goat herder Kaldi noticed his goats dancing after eating the beans.
Oh, Kaldi discovered that?
Yeah. Oh, you know what? here's the thing. Scroll back up. I'm looking at Dan's scroll down on Mental Floss here. And there's something about blizzards, about the Dairy Queen blizzards. But that's interesting. But also, I think I've seen this on an Instagram video. I think I saw this on an Instagram video for you grammar fanatics out there. I saw it on an Instagram video. I have seen it on an Instagram video. I think I saw it on an Instagram video. I'm just going to clarify everything for all of my bases here. But the Dairy Queen ice cream,
yeah.
When you get the ice cream and they got the little loop, they got the little loop on the top.
Yeah,
they have that patented. So no other ice cream store or fast food place or whatever can give you an ice cream cone with a little loop on the top.
That's so weird.
So when you look at a Dairy Queen cone, you see a loop on the top. That's a patented loop that no other ice cream
store. Like their Nike swoosh.
Yeah, it's a Nike swoosh. For Dairy Queen for ice cream loops.
Oh yeah,
that's a little loop.
That little turd loop.
Yeah. I mean, their ice cream also doesn't look like actual ice cream. Like, it's very bubbly and very
it looks like
it's very processed.
It looks like the sort of larval stage of the
Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Stay Puft Marshmallow Man or the
Jiffy Lube.
No, not Jiffy Lube. Michelin Man.
Michelin Man. Yeah. It definitely doesn't look like a normal soft serve type of.
No, I don't trust it. I don't trust Dairy Queen as far as I can throw them, which is pretty far.
Nope. Brought to you by Dairy Queen.
Yeah. This Today's is not show a, brought to you by food.
Hashtag, this is not an ad. I love ice cream, though. That's pretty good. What's your favorite? What's your favorite ice cream?
Coffee.
Coffee ice cream. 100%. Have you had? There's some new black ice cream floating around town.
Yeah, it's goth like
made
cream.
Out of charcoal or something.
Yeah, it's coconut flavored soft serve, which they used like charcoal powder on.
It's weird. I don't get it. Yeah. I like how it looks, but it definitely doesn't look.
I'm sure it's tasty. I just want nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with it.
Also, I'm not trying to eat coconut ice cream. Get out
no,
of here.
No, I want.
What is that?
Coconut's gross, anyways.
I like it in small doses. I've learned to enjoy coconut water because it's full of sweet, delicious electrolytes that your body craves.
Okay, I'll give you coconut water, but the coconut, eating coconut on like, especially shredded coconut is.
Yeah, I like a little bit of coconut every now and then, but not lots of it.
Yeah.
Coconut, we have a contentious relationship. What can I say?
We're at war with, according to BusinessInsider.com, Henry Kissinger convinced blackout drunk Nixon to not nuke North Korea. So apparently Nixon was hammered one time and he wanted to nuke North Korea. And Henry Kissinger was like, settle down, guy. Go take a nap.
The scary part is Donald Trump doesn't really drink.
No.
He's just like that.
He's like that. Fortunately, North Korea can't seem to figure out how to launch missiles.
So far they can't. Who knows?
Hey guys, look at we made all these shoes, but we don't know how to tie them.
Yeah, sorry guys. Hopefully this won't come back to bite us in the ass.
Hopefully. Spoiler alert. Oh, this just in: North Korea figured out how to launch missiles.
Oh no.
Oh, here we go. You've heard "Damn the Torpedoes, Full Speed Ahead."
Of course. Who among us hasn't heard that classic phrase?
According to military.com, the phrase "Damn the Torpedoes, Full Speed Ahead" actually referred to aquatic mines and not modern torpedoes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense. You look at the old like sort of mines, they're these giant like steel spiky balls. Yeah.
You just drop in the ocean hoping someone would hit them.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
It's nuts.
Isn't that bananas?
That is
to think
bananas.
About that. To think about the idea of that. Let's see here. Aquatic mines. I'm just curious about who invented these weird contraptions. Oh, I type in aquatic mine and Sonic Adventure 2 battle music comes up. Sonic the Hedgehog.
Great level in Sonic Adventure battle 2.
I want water mines. Aquatic Mines. That's the name of it. Aquatic Mines. Sonic 2. All right. Well, I guess we're not going to figure out about mines in the ocean. Sorry, listeners.
We didn't mean to let you down like this. It's just how it goes.
There are pizza farms, according to MidwesternWeekends.com.
What's a pizza farm?
A pizza farm, Dan, is where all the ingredients to make the pizza they sell is grown on that farm. Oh, okay. Oh, you know what? Here we go. This is something. This is a today we learned. Today I learned on Reddit from Wikipedia. I haven't read this, but I seen a keyword, and I'm curious because you might know this. A, there's a movie Dunkirk coming out.
Yes.
I don't know if that's a real thing or not.
It is a real thing.
According to this headline here, during the evacuation at Dunkirk, the last of the British Army left on June 3rd. However, Churchill insisted on coming back for the French, so the Royal Navy returned on June 4th in an attempt to rescue as many possible of the French regard. So, you know about Dunkirk.
Yes.
Tell me about it, please.
So, Dunkirk is a movie coming out later this summer by Christopher Nolan, and refers to the Battle of Dunkirk, and more specifically, Operation Dynamo, the Dunkirk evacuation. This took place on the beaches of Dunkirk, France, between May 26th and June 4th in 1940 during World War II. And basically, massive amounts of Belgian, Canadian, British, and French troops, Allied troops, were cut off and from their forces and surrounded by the German army during the Battle of France. And basically, these people were stranded, and they didn't want to just have to abandon them and leave them for dead. So they sort of assembled a hastily put together fleet of 800 something boats. And over the course of 8 days or so, they evacuated something like 338,000 soldiers from these beaches using this sort of like makeshift flotilla,
wow.
Which was a mixture of merchant marine ships, fishing boats, lifeboats, just people's personal ships they owned. This wasn't like a navy. This was like a sort of cobbled together force.
Wow.
It's called the Miracle of Dunkirk for a reason, because it should, by all accounts, these men were doomed to die. These like 300,000 men were cut off. And they had to be evacuated by this, like, just ragtag bunch of people who just happened to have boats and were willing to brave possible death.
Wow. That's wild.
Yeah.
300,000.
Yes, I believe.
Rescued on boats.
I'm trying to find the exact number. I believe they evacuated 338,226 soldiers by the end of the eighth day of this operation.
That's so many.
Yeah.
300,000.
300,000. And you'll get to see that in movie form later this summer, as envisioned by
Chris Nolan
and Hoyt Van Hoytema, the cinematographer.
Oh, he is.
Like Interstellar. And
is he the same guy who does all of Nolan's movies?
He does a lot of them. I don't know about all of them. Hoyt Van Hoytema, if you don't know, is a Dutch-Swedish cinematographer. Very talented. He did Interstellar. I'm trying to pull the rest of his IMDb because it's escaping me at the moment. He did Her. He did The Fighter. He did Let the Right One In. Did Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. Did Spectre, the James Bond movie. So yeah,
wow.
he's a talented dude. What can you say?
That team, Nolan's great. I love Nolan.
Yeah.
He just gets it, I feel like.
He's one of the last champions in the, of like A-list directors of actually like using film and like very particular. He's, you know, it's crazy to think that he made The Dark Knight, especially because it seems like now that's like superhero stuff is the last thing that he wants to do.
Right?
Yeah.
Because it's what's interesting though is how he went from, like, even Memento was kind of like a thing, and then the Prestige was kind of, you know, high concept type of stuff, I guess. Then he did like the Dark Knight movies, the Batman movies. Then he even went to do Interstellar, which was fantastical. Then he did Inception, which was fantastical. Then he goes to do Dunkirk,
yes,
which is like straight real story,
well,
real
this
life.
Seems like it's been a passion project of his for a long time.
Okay. I just wonder if there's going to be. I mean, it's interesting how he goes from doing, you know, those movies with some form of imagination and fictional,
yeah,
to going wanting to do like a legit real, you know, He wants that Oscar, I think, is what he wants. Mm-hmm. He wants to do a real story, and he wants that.
I mean, this is
he deserves it.
Definitely a way to maybe get one. Who knows, though?
He deserves
maybe
it.
Too big, but definitely. From what I've seen so far, it looks like a strong contender for. Looks like a strong contender for best cinematography at the very least.
Yeah, he deserves it. Here's something. Mother's Day's coming up. I don't know what it is, but according to Eater.com, Mother's Day is the busiest day of the year for Kentucky Fried Chicken.
What?
Yeah, according to Eater.com. Let's see what it says here. Eater.com, KFC is the Mother's Day destination. It's the chain's best day of the year. In an article posted on May 4th, 2016, Kentucky Fried Chicken has been pulling out all the stops to lure millennials. And KFC says it serves approximately the amount of Dunkirk families each year on Mother's Day. 370,000 families each year on Mother's Day, KFC serves. That translates to about 1.5 million pounds of chicken, 6.5 million pieces of chicken, 815,000 servings of mashed potatoes, 470,000 servings of coleslaw. Apparently, the biggest Mother's Day chain chicken cravings are found in the Rust Belt, the cities of Bluefield, Virginia, Clarksburg, West Virginia, Erie, Pennsylvania, Topeka, Kansas, and Charleston, Ohio, are where you're most likely to find a dining room full of matriarchs.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's, hey, sometimes moms want their chicken. I don't blame them.
You know, they want their chicken and eat
KFC
it, too.
KFC definitely knows what mothers want, because this year, as part of Mother's Day, they are releasing a romance novel, a romance novella on Amazon called Tender Wings of Desire, featuring a ripped Colonel Sanders, who is a handsome sailor with a mysterious past. That's a real thing that's coming out. And I think this is set back in like Victorian England. A woman falls into Colonel Sanders' strong, manly arms, named Madeline Parker, and she finds buckets of love from her finger-licking good hero. She tries to escape Parker Manor and her loveless marriage.
That's my new favorite book.
You can get it for free on Amazon.
I'm gonna option that book and turn it into a movie.
It is a very upsetting cover. It looked like Colonel Sanders on this cover looks like a jacked version of the mean teacher from The Waterboy. There's something wrong with your medulla oblongata.
He's got a cut-off white suit coat on.
He does
with his guns showing.
Yeah.
KFC's probably got a ton of calories, right?
It's absolutely
loaded with calories.
100%. There's no way they don't.
Apparently,
it's not good for you.
According to the internet here, a gallon of gasoline contains energy equal to 31,000 food calories.
Wow. So that's enough for one day of Michael Phelps' life.
Back
when he was
the energy in
swimming.
One gallon of gasoline is equal to 31,000 food calories. That's so many calories.
That's too many food calories,
I would say. It's like a month of my calorie intake, unless I'm eating baked goods.
How many baked goods are you eating?
31,000 calories worth.
Let's just say it's too much.
It's so many. Have you seen any horror movies lately, Dan?
No, not really, but I did see some horrifying facts about King Kong.
Okay.
Speaking of calories,
let's talk about these. I like it.
So the average male gorilla eats about 50 pounds of food per day, and that's about 1/8 of its body weight. But to put that in perspective, Kong, as seen in Kong Skull Island, that monkey is gigantic. It is 158 tons now, 104 feet tall. It weighs 316,000 pounds if you're nasty. 4.5 foot long teeth. Now, every day, if you're basing this off of what an average monkey eats, an average male gorilla, Kong would consume about 39,500 pounds of food per day. Now, that amount of food, nearly 40,000 pounds of food, translates to roughly 4.98 million calories per day. So he needs nearly 5 million calories every day. And that equates to roughly 26,229 Doritos Locos Tacos, 8,851 Big Macs, or you could glurp 83,058 tubes of Go-Gurt every day.
Every day.
If you wanted to live that Kong life.
That's the King Kong.
Eat like an ape.
That's the King Kong on Kong Skull Island.
Yes.
Now let me ask you this, Dan. You've seen the movie.
I have.
I've seen the movie.
Yes.
Do you think that Kong, do you think the size of that island that we saw, do you think the amount of creatures on that island that we saw weren't many?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's that many giant octopus floating around that he can eat a day? Do you think there's that many giant spiders?
We didn't see the whole island.
We saw a good portion of the island.
I think he's a vegetarian for the most part.
But even so,
a pescatarian.
Even so, if he was a vegetarian or a pescatarian, he would eat himself out of house and home, let alone when there were three of them. Maybe those
that octopus is very filling. He's got leftovers.
Maybe that's why the skull crushers,
skull crawlers,
maybe the skull crawlers didn't kill Kong's parents. Maybe it was just starvation.
No, I think they were on a like pretty strict like South Beach diet. Like they mostly just ate like steamed trees.
They just steamed trees over the volcanoes.
Yeah, just roasted them.
But even that is like those trees would.
Are trees if not large broccoli?
Correct, I agree. But those trees wouldn't grow fast enough unless there's like some form of radiation that grows trees fast.
I'm sure there is because everything else on this island is
giant.
Super wacky.
Because I was wondering that. I watched the movie and I'm like, how does he stay hungry? Like, how does he stay full when he's, you know, there's not. 300.
Monarch dropped a bunch of bananas. They made a supply drop.
How do you think they're going to connect the two? So that was clearly a prequel to Godzilla.
Yeah, this took place. This took place
in the Vietnam.
Late 60s, early
70s. Godzilla took place now.
Yes.
Do you think Godzilla 2 is going to take place in the future? Or do you think Godzilla 2 might be a prequel?
I think Godzilla 2 is. No, I don't think it's going to be a prequel. I think Godzilla 2 is going to take place present day, so it'll be a couple years after the first Godzilla attack. So
and Godzilla vs. Kong. Do you think this was a how old do you think Kong was in this one? Like 14?
14 years old?
How old do you think King Kong was? Do you think he's Baby Groot or do you think he's like 30 years old?
I think this Kong is probably like 18.
You think he's 18?
I think he's a young man.
Okay, so you think when Kong versus Godzilla, you think he's going to be like a 50-year-old Kong fighting Godzilla?
I think he's going to be like full-sized.
You mean this Kong wasn't full-sized?
Didn't they say that he wasn't completely full-sized?
Oh, maybe I didn't recognize
that. I don't
remember.
I could see him getting even bigger. They'll reason it out somehow. Because this Kong is 100 feet tall, I think. And Godzilla is 300 feet tall.
So he's got to be, yeah. Okay.
So, they
so he'll
beat
be like
him
a
little bit.
He'll be like a 50-year-old.
They'll just be like, we dropped a nuke, but it only made him bigger. Do you know how they defeat Godzilla in the original 1954 movie?
I don't. They freeze him?
No. They develop a weapon called the Oxygen Destroyer. And they like activate it underwater and like destroys all the oxygen in the water and it basically just like vaporizes his flesh, Godzilla's flesh.
So then, how did they bring him back in Godzilla Part 2?
They just reasoned shit out.
They retconned it like every
exactly.
other movie.
Exactly. That series is so.
They
wacky.
they made Godzilla a good guy. Like they made Jason Statham a good guy all of a sudden in the new Fast movie. Like,
yeah.
Oh,
hey, we know you killed our best friend, but do you want to have dinner with us? Hey, remember when you blew up our house? We have a new one now.
Hey, remember when I almost killed you and I threatened to blow up your police headquarters? Well, I was really a good guy.
Yeah. Remember how it's just because I used to be a cop that absolves me of everything? Well, anyway. Have a Budweiser, not a Corona.
Hey, here's your son that I saved off of
my
a plane
day
4 days ago, and you flew to New York to cook food instead of come to get your son.
Honestly, you can make another son. Can you make another award-winning meal?
I mean, it was a fun movie, but it was kind of like, come on. I didn't like how they retconned it that much. Like they made
no, it felt
they're
like,
assimilating all the bad guys into be good guys, and it's like you can't do that. When
I mean,
they kill
you
your
could,
friends.
But like there needs to be more being like, I don't want to work this guy. He killed Han. Like he blew up our home.
He blew up our house. He killed Han, and his brother killed Han's girlfriend.
Yeah, Giselle,
who's now going to be in Wonder Woman.
Who now is Wonder Woman?
That movie looks pretty good.
I hope it's good, man.
I hope it's good. I want to see it. I want to see it.
My fingers.
I hope it's good. I don't know. Speaking of movies, here's a fact to end it down. Let me see where did it go. The last horror movie officially to be released on VHS was Saw 2.
Really?
Yeah, that's
I've
the
never
last...
seen any Saw movies.
No?
No. I know Cary Elwes is in the first one.
Yeah, he is. He was he played Robin Hood.
He plays Mike Saw.
He played Johnny Saw. Yeah, so that's a horror movie there. I don't know. Dan, I just got to say, I'm so glad we did this.
Yeah, it's good to catch up and educate the world on
the
important facts that matter to their everyday lives.
It's everything we said today will matter to you in within the week.
It will change your life, and if not, you get your money back.
And if you can go buy some Szechuan sauce with it when they release that.
Yeah, or someone paid like $13,000 for a packet on eBay.
They're gonna bring that back regardless because.
Because money. Because
they're making a live action Mulan, and when Rick and Morty is the biggest cartoon currently right now, and they have, you know, internet, Reddit, and all that, and people, they'd be foolish not to bring it back.
Yeah, I feel like people won't actually go get it, though, once they bring it back. It's just like funny that they don't have it. It's like how ever for a long time everyone would call different GameStops and ask if they had Battletoads.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, God damn it, stop calling.
Stop. We don't have Battletoads. Yeah. The hardest Nintendo game ever.
Exactly. God, that game is
fuck that game.
Brutal.
Fuck Battletoads.
Exactly.
Fuck that. Fuck it.
Sorry, Battletoads apologists.
Hey, Battletoads, guess what? You don't have a movie you don't have a movie out.
Yeah, that was part of a weird time when they wanted to make everything, they wanted to capitalize on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, so they're like, what if we did Battletoads or Biker Mice from Mars or
the Jaws? What was that? Jaws?
Street Sharks.
Street Sharks. Bananas. Dan,
yes,
so you've had something change since our last podcast.
Yes, my Twitter handle.
Your Twitter handle.
Exactly. Finally, that ginger drummer is no more.
No
more. You can find me on Twitter at Dan Casey. I still have at Osteoferocious just for old time's sake, but I don't respond to that because... I just wanted to keep it. I didn't want someone else to have it. But I have at Dan Casey now. That's my official Twitter handle.
And what else? What else is new? What else do you have? What else do you want our listeners to check out?
Well,
that
folks,
you're doing?
As you know, I still do my show, The Dan Cave, over at Nerdist. But I have a brand new show called Muskwatch coming out with the science editor, Kyle Hill, host of Because Science. Every week, we're going to do a sort of very silly deep dive into the latest in science, technology, futurism, Elon Musk, hordes of venomous bats, and more. And that's going to air on Tuesdays on Nerdist.com and on YouTube. Or if you're a member of Alpha, Nerdist and Geek and Sundry streaming service, you can get that 2 days earlier on Sundays. So check it out.
Ooh, got it 2 days earlier.
Yeah.
On Sundays.
You can be 48 hours smarter than your dumb friends.
Oh, hey, dumb friend. Guess what? I saw that 2 days ago.
Yeah. I'm better than you,
I'm
but also
you.
I value your friendship.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's great.
Where can people find you, Razzle?
People can find me on the internet at my name is Razzle2 on Twitter and my name is Razzle on Instagram. And the new franchise podcast that I the podcast I hosted with Kyle Newman last year, we're going to be bringing that back coming up soon on Stitcher Premium and Howl.com. Howl and Stitcher kind of merge, so it's going to be on Stitcher Premium. Do that. And yeah, check that out and continue following and doing this. And we want to thank everybody for continuing to download and do all of this. And we appreciate everybody's continued support. And I'm so happy I got to sit down with Dan again because I've missed talking with you about random bullshit and
random
facts.
Factoids.
And it's great to see you as a friend. It's great to see you as a co-host. And I know our listeners were wondering not too long ago somebody tweeted, "Hey, is Dan still doing the show?" And it's like, yes, when he can and when
exactly.
We can, and we're all busy. You know, obviously, even the shows that I've been putting out haven't been on a regular release schedule because we have grown from the podcast thanks to you listeners, and we have other projects that we're working on. Shall we close this out?
We shall indeed.
As always,
don't let your creams be dreams.
Don't let your creams be dreams. And if you play baseball, take your greenies.
Exactly. Take your greenies, kids.
Take your greenies.
That's the lesson.
Take your greenies, kids. I'm going to Google what greenies are now.
It's baseball math.
This is not an ad.